This has been a tremendous joy to have Dolores here for 2 weeks. She's been a part of our journey for a long time. She's been coming here in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad. She has been here and present with us. And we want to thank Judy, who is an important part of this ministry, because this is the transportation, the organization. If her notes are out of order in this sermon, it's because she handled them.
That's right.
Not the way that Judy put them together.
Amen. I'm a witness.
What a blessing. If you haven't heard her before, listen. The Spirit speaks, and our hearts need to be open to that Spirit.
Thank you.
You have done well in this 2 weeks. You were so tired on Friday, and you look so good today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I love you. You know I love you. He is so right. I adore you, Bob. You know that. He is so very true. This is my first time going to a church in almost 8 months after a difficult back surgery. And you know you go through things in life. Amen.
Amen.
What I've learned is you just keep on going.
Yes.
That's what I've learned. The sermon has two titles.
Yes.
What?
Two of them. When I saw our Denise earlier this week, she and David, we met together, we went over the bulletin, and only thing I could give her for the title of the sermon was the word trees. That's as far as I could get. But I knew she deserved more than just one word, and I knew something was coming. I can't wait to hear it my own self. So, the sermon is entitled, Judy gave the first title, because I kept saying trees. But trees, I've never preached about trees. Why am I hearing trees? And she said, don't let the trees get in the way. And so the two titles together is Don't Let the Trees Get in the Way, and or I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, No Turning
Back.
There it is. No turning back. Let us see what else God does. I started out in the concert with God Is Here last Sunday. God is here.
God is here.
Amen. Always.
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 Everywhere.
I want to sing it again. I'm glad you came. I want to thank the board and all the leaders and you who made it possible for us to be here for these 2 weeks. God is here.
There's a sweet anointing in this sanctuary. There's a stillness in the atmosphere. Come and lay down. Sanctuary. God got here first. There is a sweet anointing in this sanctuary. There's a peace, be still, with us.
Scripture reading, the ancient text, about him being without sight, and that Jesus touched his eyes and gave him sight. You know, see, everybody knew he couldn't see the way many saw. And so when Jesus was approached by people there, and Jesus just, well, I'm going to have to say the way I'm reading it from the NIV, and it says that Jesus spat in his eyes. Ain't that something? In our home, I'm known the queen of bleach. But I got a feeling I would have been saying, spit on me again. Amen? Yes. And so God did that. And then the man, you know, Jesus said, okay, now what do you see? And the man said, I see trees, but they're walking. Now remember, Jesus did this to give him sight. Amen? He's been in his eyes. You ever had a needle in your eye? Who has to have needles? Bob and I do. The doctor does it, y'all, not our spouses. Most of us don't like people messing around our eyes. Amen? Yes, yes. I don't swim yet because I don't want to open my eyes underwater. You know? And so when he said he saw trees, Jesus was surprised. You know, I mean, Jesus said, I just gave him, what is he doing? And so I'm sure Jesus went like this. Can y'all see me? Jesus went like this. So Jesus gave him the treatment again. And this time, Jesus asked, and Jesus probably saying, I hope this person... And the man said, I can see. He opened his eyes, he fully had his sight. And how joyful. They weren't trees, they were people he saw. It may have been that he hadn't seen them before. Have you ever received a wisdom that you'd never had before? So after that had happened, you know, I'm sure that this man couldn't wait to see real trees. I love trees. Judy took me to see the redwoods many years ago in California, right? In California, I'm not, all right, because I'm not a big nature person, but I love nature, but I don't know a lot about it. Judy knows more. That side of my brain knows more about it. She couldn't wait. I never knew a tree could get that big. They are humongous. The bottom of them, some of them wouldn't even fit in this sanctuary. They're so big. It was the first time in my life hugging in one of them that I felt like I was wearing a size 6. It was awesome. I said, all right. Yeah. And so there was, and then after I talk, and our beloved Kathy and Donna know that I talk about my childhood friend, Charlene. We have been best friends since we were 5 years old. And we're both 63. And Charlene she's amazing. We don't go past a week without talking, usually several times a week. We've gone through easy times together. We were a hippie together. That was neat. Amen. We didn't quite know what it was about, but we were there. And we belonged to the National Council of Christians and Jews Youth Ministry. And we joined that together. And one time we went out in the country of a place out in Maryland, and there were trees. And we were project kids. We were raised in the projects in Baltimore. And so, excuse me when I do sit. I'll be up and down, okay? And so what happened was, Charlene loves trees more than, at that time, than I did, or our school friend, Brenda Lama. Have you ever noticed that your school friends have strange last names when you look back? Brenda Lama and I went with Charlene to look at trees. And Charlene saw way down a hill, insisted on going down there, wanted us to. We said, we'll wait at the top. She got down to the bottom. And she looked, and all of a sudden, I mean, it's like she was talking to this tree. And I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden, three dogs came running up. And we were from a neighborhood when three dogs would come running up to you, you're going to be dinner. So we immediately got frightened for her, and we said to each other, oh, my God, what is she going to do? And she started picking up twigs and talking to them. And she'd throw one down, and then she'd pick up another one, throw it down, and they were just right in conversation with her. And at one point, she picked up a bigger one, and she looked around behind her and everywhere, and she took that stick and raised it up in the air, and she threw it into our direction. And in slow motion, we could tell that she was saying, We started running. And we thought we're going to be eaten by dogs today. Our dearest set dogs on us. Wild dogs. Because for us, Project Kids, of a bunch of dogs running together, they're wild dogs to us. And there we were trying to get away from those dogs. We ran into an off-limit building that was rented by the organization. And we got through a window, a low window. We did not know that that building was holding people who were resisting the draft in Vietnam. We stepped on a man's shoulder. Well, his bed was right there. And we just kept on running. Eventually, we got back to our room about an hour later, and we said, "Why did you sick those dogs on us?" And she said, "I knew y'all would have a better chance." It tested us. It tested us. Don't let the trees get in the way. And or, second, I have decided to follow Jesus. There's another man in the scripture. In the 9th chapter of John, I'm going to ask you to read it all, even though it starts, I'm starting today in 9:1. See here. Read the whole thing. Oh, you're opening your Bibles. Okay. Let me know. God, help my soul right now. I can't find it. There it is. John 1, and I'm stopping at 38, but I want to encourage you to read the entire chapter. So many things linked together. There was another man who could not see. He was blind at birth. I'm ready to move around. And he was moving around. I can't believe it. I wasn't doing this 2 weeks ago. I wasn't walking like this. I was eating in the house tied to the wall. My mother had glaucoma, and she lost her eyesight, but not her heart sight. And so it was this man who could not see, and he was a beggar, and he had been blind since birth. And some of the disciples asked Jesus, "Is this man blind because of him or because of someone in his family, his parents, perhaps?" And Jesus said, "No." You know how people like to say it was God's fault? Some of us were raised in religion to say it was God's fault. And God's fault is that big tree fell on your brand new car. I'm going to tell you something.
Tell them that my sister happened 2 weeks ago.
Okay, well, you call her. So there she was, and there they were, and all of a sudden, Jesus was coming by again. Has a habit of that all the time. And there was that man, standing in the knee, just like me. And so, Jesus face to face, he spat again, but this time on the ground. And he began to stir the dirt into mud. And then he put the mud upon the man's eyes. And when he did that, he told the man to go to the water called Scent, right on the skirts of part of Jerusalem. And the man washed the mud off and he regained his eyesight. And that's when things got really busy. Later, people saw him walking around and probably doing what I would have been doing, was jumping up and down. Hallelujah. I want to see what I look like. I want to see how my loved ones look. I want to see what
I want to know. And people are going around going, is that him? No, that ain't him. No, he's blind. He's always there, and he's blind. Oh, no, no, wait a minute. It looks like, well, somebody that looks like. Read it.
You'll find the 20.
And oh, my goodness. And then someone said a little bit louder, is that him? And he said, yeah, I am the one. He said, Jesus, someone named Jesus. The RIV said, someone named Jesus spat on the ground and made mud and put it on my eyes. And then I regained my sight. And so some of the people took the man to the leaders of the community because they couldn't believe that it was against the rule and it was the Sabbath. And so they took him there, and the man stood there before, probably trembling, and said, yes. It was a man named Jesus, someone named Jesus, and he gave me back my sight. And now I can see. And so in the discussion, they asked for his parents to come forth. And they asked him, is he the one who really lost his sight? Was he born blind? I mean, how did he get his vision? They said, well, that is our son. But he's grown, ask him. In other words, they threw him under the bus. Right under the bus. Bus and said, he's the one, he's ours, but he's grown now, he's on his own. We did that.
Oh my goodness. Can you imagine your own parents throwing you under the bus? How many people in here right now have had that happen? Now, let me see a show of hands. Anyone over here had this on you? It's all right, he got his sight. And it's all right, they come to church, which every time you come here, you got their DNA. They're gay with you here, amen. Amen. And they are heterosexuals here too also, amen? Amen. And they come here with you too. You got their DNA, take it where you need to go. And there he was, sight. And when this had happened later in the day, Jesus went back to him because Jesus had heard that he was being questioned and nobody knew what was going to happen to him. He had to be afraid. The leaders did not want people associated with Jesus. There's another rule broken. Jesus sat with him again and said, do you know who I am? Well, he said, at one point, he said, I think you're the Messiah. And then Jesus said to him, well, now that you know that, what are you going to do? And he said, I will follow you. When I came out of the closet, I had just been ordained a few months before in the Methodist church. And I went running out of the closet because I couldn't stand any longer. I knew Jesus was in the closet with me. Because he talked to me, blessed me, picked me up when I fell down. But still in my back, when my back were hurt. I knew Jesus loved me. There was no doubt. I know Jesus loves us. There is no doubt. Oh my Lord, I was at a church years ago and this person came up for prayer. Crying, weeping and weeping. I just don't have anything in life I really want. And then later, as the person was leaving, I saw them drive away in a Mercedes.
That's another sermon.
Everything. He decided. The church, have you decided? Have you decided to follow the Redeemer?
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Let me hear it again.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Somebody say, I think so, but I'm not sure. That's all right. You confess it with your mouth, then God will take it from there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I will sing with you. I haven't sung it in years. But I'm supposed to sing it here. But wait a minute, Danny, don't hear it again. I'm going to give you a call out right now. And the call out, one will be for the choir. Amen!
Amen!
Yeah, I knew y'all could do that. The Redeemer.
Amen.
Now y'all get the Redeemer. Ready?
The Redeemer.
Pastor.
The Redeemer.
You know I talk real fast. My parents came from the Carolinas.
The Redeemer.
Where y'all go?
The Redeemer.
Well, bring us through whatever we're going through.
Amen.
You ready for me?
The Redeemer.
Those that we're going through.
The Redeemer.
Seize our walk.
The Redeemer.
What made our path.
The Redeemer.
Knew what steps we would take while we were still in our mother's womb.
The Redeemer.
Jesus came so human. Mama looked at him. I had to feed him like that child in school back there with that Mepitin baby. Is that the Mepitin baby?
No, that's
a
real one.
That's a real one? That cat didn't work. Yeah, well, okay, fine. The baby's somewhere else around here. I saw the baby. Where's the baby, Jay?
Over children.
Well, Lord have mercy. It looked like it could have stayed for 10 more minutes.
The Redeemer.
The lily of the valley.
Yeah.
The wheel in the middle of the wheel. The Savior. The Redeemer. Has run to us. When we get tired, you know you're looking for a pastor. Church going through something. I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention it. So I can say to you, expect to have arguments at home. Expect me not to always be in a good mood. But the Redeemer can fix that.
Yes.
Amen.
The Redeemer picks us up.
Amen.
Got a plan for everybody.
Amen.
I'm going to sing.
Start it. Hit it. Don't feel abandoned.
tears. The footprints are in the sand. Don't be afraid, Jesus is. He lives to take away all our fears. Jesus lives to take us all the way to the day when our last breath, it needs to be right here knowing God built this for you and me. We know our Redeemer lives. This is no ordinary place. This is no ordinary gathering. No, this Jesus lives. With you, we got here. Amazing to some of us, we know our Redeemer lives in this place. James, start it over, and then I'll end the sermon. I'll finish it the next time. The spirit in the orbit, and who told the ocean you can only go as far, and who showed the moon where to hide until the evening, whose words alone can catch a falling star. And we know our Redeemer lives. Yes, we know our Redeemer lives. Just like that man knew that he would follow Jesus, we know our Redeemer lives. I'm going to ask this question again. Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hang out in the daytime? Ooh, ooh. Can catch a falling star. We know our Redeemer is. Join me who know it. Yes, we know our Redeemer. Jesus is here. That's how your street got named. We know our Redeemer. Oh, yeah. To save our soul. Jesus lives. To treat us better than some of our parents did. Jesus lives
carry on. Well, we can carry our plans. And he's here today to give us victory. I'm heading to my feet. Somebody's potatoes are getting cold. Sign me up. Thank you for having us here. God bless you. I want to tell you a billion things, and I know I can't. All right, James. Maestro, hit it. Number 13. With the man at the piano. This is an awesome sound system. Amen. Choir, I don't often get hear people sing. I told you that earlier. It's a joy. Thank you for raising us up. Sign me up. Oh, I've been changed.
Jesus God.